Have you ever found something that you didn't know you'd lost? Or maybe more to the point, have you ever found something and started using it and realized, man, I wish I'd have had this all along. I wish I'd have been able to use this years ago. I'm afraid sometimes we find ourselves in that situation with our songs. We sing songs from various psalm books. We're using different psalm books now than we've used over the past several decades, I think, if we were to count back. And one of the things we've noticed is there's some difference in the verses sometimes. Certainly difference in the titles that we've seen in some of them. One of the things we don't notice is that a lot of the songs in our psalm books don't have all the verses. And in removing some of the verses for publishing them in the psalm books, sometimes there's a part of the message of that song that we lose as well. You know, when you read through the Psalms, if some of your Bibles probably got some headings at the beginning of each psalm, and it says a psalm of David when he was upset at the loss of Absalom, or when he was being chased by Saul, things like that. When we have that sort of information, it helps us to better understand the message that's being presented with that particular psalm. Sometimes knowing what David was going through when he wrote that psalm helps us to connect with it better. Because we think, that's exactly what I'm doing. And here David has expressed this, and it really fits and helps me to better understand the situation I am in. And we miss that sometimes in our songs. And that is why from time to time I take the time to go and look back a little bit at some of our songs. I get some information. Actually, I've got a folder that's got probably a couple of hundred studies on songs. But this song here, I got a note. Well, a lot of people got the note, but I saw a note by Brother Steve Wolfgang, who is a songwriter and things of that nature. And there were three verses that he had of this song that are not in our psalm book. And at least two of those verses help better state the connection with the scripture passage than just our three verses alone. I've sung this song for a long time. I've heard this song off and on all my life, and I've sung it for a long time, and generally with the idea that I connected it with a vague association to Christ, mainly because of the phrase in the first verse, even though it be a cross. But when I look at these other verses and read a little bit of the history of this song, I find it's not about Christ. It has a different focus. Our book has Psalm 73 and verse 28 as a reference, which certainly fits the idea of the song. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good. I have made the Lord my refuge that I may tell of all your works. But that's not the focus of this song. This song was written with a focus rather than on Psalm. It was written with a focus on Genesis 28. Do you know the story in Genesis 28 beginning in verse 10? The text of this song was written by a woman called Sarah Fowler Adams way back in the 1800s, about 1840 or 1841. She was asked by her local minister for her and her sister Eliza, they're both musically talented, to produce a new hymn on the story of Jacob and Esau for a book that he was going to have, and it would accompany a sermon that he was planning to preach on that particular subject. So preparing for this, she read the account multiple times and studied it very carefully, but about that time her sister contracted tuberculosis. So when she wrote this song in 1841, she wrote this, they say, her most famous hymn, not only to be used in the hymn book in association with the story of Jacob and Esau, but also to comfort her dying sister. I want us to turn to Genesis chapter 28, because more important to us than the story about the woman that wrote it is the passage from which it comes. And I think as we read this passage, the latter half of Genesis chapter 28, and you think on the things that are written here, and you hear the verses, especially the extra verses that we're going to talk about this evening that are not in our book, it will help us to better connect with this particular song and its topic. Jacob departed from Beersheba and went to Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if the Lord will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you. Just a little bit of backstory. Remember, Jacob is in this place because he had to run away from home, because his brother wanted to kill him. His dad was pretty upset with him as well, because he had tricked him and gotten the birthright and then gotten the blessing of the firstborn. So Jacob is all alone. He's away from his family. He's going to live with his mother's family back in the regions where Abraham had come from. And here is the place that he stops. It's important for us to understand that and think about that as we consider the things that are talked about in this particular hymn, because it's a hymn that helps us to recognize the need to be near God. And it also, when we better understand the backstory and how this hymn came together, what it's based on, the language that's used in it, and how connected it is with Jacob, it is a song of comfort and encouragement as we travel through this world as strangers and pilgrims. Because it's a song that reminds us that God is with us, and that gives us great comfort. You know, this is God's house. And then at the end of the reading, the things that Jacob has to say, God be with me, God protect me, God care for me, God give me the things that I need. This song begins with a universal cry out in regards to the desire to be near God. Certainly, we can see the connection between the phrases in this particular verse, even though it be a cross that raiseth me, and the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. But it also impresses upon us that God wants us to be near to Him. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And when we think on the cross, as we consider the sacrifice that Christ made, and we talked a little bit about this morning and at various other times in recent months, it impresses us with the desire and the need to be near God. The cross draws us near to God, puts us in a close, personal relationship with Him. But also note, Jesus said, if anyone's going to follow me, he needs to take up his cross and follow after me. If we read from the Luke passage instead of Matthew 16, it would say, take up his cross daily and follow me. And I think that better gets the picture of what this message, at least what it says to me, even though I have to bear my cross every day, if it brings me nearer to God, that is something to be desired. That's something that I want in my life. And our desire to be near to God is certainly something that we ought to be expressing in our prayers and in our songs to Him. We read in Psalm 28 and verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. Therefore my heart exalts and with my song I shall thank Him. And that's one of many places in the Psalms where we see that kind of attitude expressed by the psalmist, whether David or some other. Our songs ought to express this desire to be closer to God and recognize that sometimes getting closer to God means we're going to have to make some sacrifices. We may have to have a cross that raises us so that we shall be closer to God. And we'll still rejoice in the fact that we are nearer to God. The next verse. Though like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'll be nearer, my God, to Thee. This, one of the verses in our particular copy of the song, points us directly back to the things that Jacob talks about here in this particular passage about how he slept there. It emphasizes the wandering nature of his particular life at that time, that he was not in a particular place, that he was not at home. And I think that helps us connect with this particular song. We're wanderers. We're strangers and pilgrims. The English Standard Version renders this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. I urge you as sojourners and exiles. Sojourners and exiles. We don't belong here. Jacob was in a place where he didn't belong. He was a wanderer. And as night came upon him and he found time to rest, the only thing he had to rest himself upon was a stone for his head. Now, growing up and hearing this song, that particular phrase there actually pointed me toward Christ more than toward Jacob, because I always thought of it as the passage where Jesus said, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Foxes have holes and the birds have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I always made that connection with Christ. But as you look diligently between this passage here that talks about Jacob and his dream and what was happening with him, and you see these words in this song, you can't help but see that connection. And here again, no matter what condition we find ourselves in, if we find ourselves just wanderers walking through the world with no help whatsoever, we can know that nearness to God is something that we can have. And something that we ought to desire, we ought to seek after. Job tells us that man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Our lives are going to have trouble. Remember the backstory of Jacob here. He was in trouble. He had to leave home. Almost nobody was happy with him there. But even in our darkest, especially in our darkest hours, we long to find a path or a place where we can rest. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, we read, here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 11, therefore let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. We don't have our rest here on earth. Our rest is something that we're waiting for. And in order to achieve that rest, to attain that rest, we need to draw near to God. We need to have Him close to us. The next two verses are not in our particular book. I didn't go look and see if it was in our old book or if they were in the old sacred selection books that some of us have swung out of in the past. But it's not in this particular book, and I think it messes with the message of the song that it's not there. I don't know that anything we can do about it unless we want to memorize these verses and sing them whenever we sing this song. And I'm afraid that these verses being missing in this song and some other verses that we may not be aware of and some other songs are a result of trying to make songs easier to sing rather than making sure we get the message of the song always. But note what this verse says. There let the way appear, steps unto heaven, all that thou sendest me in mercy given, angels to beckon me, nearer my God to thee, nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. Of course, the latter part and the very first parts of these, some of these verses are almost identical. All the latter part is the drawing nearer to God. But I hope you can see the imagery here in this verse and how it matches up with the imagery of the dream that Jacob had while he was here in this foreign place. The steps unto heaven. Now, we don't have angels that beckon to us, but we do have the message of Christ that calls to us and beckons to us. And in general, that message is calling us home, urging us to come nearer to God. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus Christ prepared for us a way. And in order for us to draw nearer to God, we need to walk that way. This song emphasizes that image that Jacob saw, which it was an image of, as he put it, a gateway to heaven. It's the pathway to God. And we certainly have Jesus as our pathway to God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, the Apostle Paul says, He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and preached and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. And I know Paul is emphasizing the oneness of Jew and Gentile in this letter to a great degree. But that last phrase of those verses right there emphasizes the fact that He gives us a means to come to God. And this verse in this song emphasizes that as well, especially as we see it in light of the vision of Jacob. And Jacob's statement there, I'm in God's house. This is the gate to heaven. We need to see the Word of God as the gate to heaven, much more than we need to see a vision of a ladder as the gate to heaven, like Jacob did. But songs such as this can help us to do that. And having a better understanding of the story and message behind this song, even if we don't sing these verses now, I'm confident that many of us are going to think of this story of Jacob while we're singing this song from this point forward, and we're going to pick up on a few of these things a little more than we would have otherwise. At least I hope that that'll be the case, at least to some degree. Jacob was away from his family. He was all alone. But God shows him how close He really is to each and every one of us, each and every day. Jacob was at the entrance to heaven. And it helps us to see that God is with us even now. If we have desire to be near God, as James said, God will be near us. The next verse again is a verse that is not in our psalm books. Then with my working thoughts, bright, my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs, Bethel I'll raise. So by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee. You remember the story? When Jacob woke up the next morning, he was so joyful and full of praise for God that he took the stone that he had used for a pillow the night before and he set it up as an altar, as a memorial to God, poured all oil upon it and called it Bethel. I remember correctly, pretty much Bethel means house of God or God's house. When Jacob understood how close he was to God, even out there in the middle of nowhere, away from his family, God was with him. It gave him great joy and praise for God. How often do you get up in the morning and one of the first things you do is say something to the effect of, maybe not these very words, but praise God for being with me. Thank you, God, for the past night's rest. Thank you, God, that I have another day in which I can serve you. Thank you, God, for being in my life and helping me through my struggles and my trials and my difficulties. That's what Jacob did. Through that dream that God gave to him, and I'm convinced it was a dream given to him by God to emphasize these things. Through that dream, Jacob received joy. Why? Because he recognized he was in the presence of God. And we can do the same. He built that altar and worshiped God because God felt so near to him. And he was so grateful that God saw fit to walk with him through this life, to carry him through his struggles and difficulties. Psalm number 5, the first three verses of that psalm we read, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my groaning. Hear the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God, for to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch." How often do we get up with the attitude of thanking God and praising Him, and then go about our day in a manner that we are expressing our gratefulness and happiness that God is with us and that He's walking beside us through this world? Like Jacob, even our troubles and our difficulties can be used to draw us nearer to God, to strengthen our relationship with Him. That's exactly what James is talking about in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, or 2 through 4. "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James says your testing and your trials make you better. They draw you closer to God, because they make you stronger. They give you endurance so that you can bear through. You can deal with the difficulties and struggles of life. Even in our woes, we can seek to be nearer to God. We need to take the time to thank God, to praise Him and honor Him for what He has done, and to realize that He is with us at all times. Verse 5, which is our verse 3, if I remember correctly. "If on joyful wing cleaving the sky, sun, moon, and stars for God, upward I fly, still all my song shall be, nearer my God to thee." If we have lived a life of nearness to God, of Him walking beside us, caring for us, maybe even carrying us part of the way because of the difficulty of the path we must follow, then even when our life on this earth comes to an end, even when we realize that we are no longer here, we can still strive to be and desire to be near to God. When the world is no longer our focus, we continue to hope in the Father. We need to remember that our entire life is focused, or at least ought to be focused, on this one point: to get to heaven for all eternity. Our hope ought to be, to use the imagery that's in this particular verse, to fly away, to be at home with God. Some might balk at this kind of imagery, but it's the imagery of the Word of God. In Luke chapter 16 and verse 22, the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Someday we will fly away to be at home with the Lord, if God is near to us in our life because we are drawing nearer to Him. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now we are children of God, and it's not appeared yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is. That's the hope we have, to be in the very presence of God for all eternity. And that's the message of the final verse in our song here. What a thought. When we make the connection between this song and that passage there in Genesis chapter 28 about Jacob and that dream. And remember, the purpose of that dream was to tell Jacob, I'm your God, I'm going to watch over you, I'm going to carry through on my promises that I gave to your father, that I gave to your grandfather. It is through you that all these nations will be blessed. You picked up on that while we were reading through there, right? This is the promises given to Jacob about the Savior. Jacob, I will be with you. When Jacob arises from that dream, he not only offers to God, he not only builds that altar and praises God, but he says, God, if you're going to do that, then I'll follow you wherever you go. And I'll give you a tenth of everything you give me. You want to know where the tithe started? There's one of the places. There's a promise that one of the fathers of Israel gave to return back to God. But there's actually a bonus to this particular song. In Brother Wolfgang's note, he included a sixth verse. It wasn't written by the lady who wrote the original song. In fact, it was written about 35 years later by Edward H. Bickersteth, Jr. And if you don't like my pronunciation, I'll let you figure it out for yourself here. And I don't know that I've ever seen it in a book. But I'll tell you, its message works very well for bringing this lesson to a close. There in my Father's home, safe and at rest. There in my Savior's love, perfectly blessed. Age after age to be nearer my God to thee. Doesn't that perfectly express our desire, our hope, to be at home with God? To be there forever in His presence? Isn't that the desire of everyone who understands who God is?
and who the Christ is and what he has done on our behalf. Everyone who has willingly said, I will follow you, has a desire to be safe and to rest in the home of God for all eternity. And that is ours. As long as we're obedient to the will and drawing ourselves closer and closer to God, a desire to be near to God will help us greatly in going through and overcoming the trials and troubles of this life. If you look this evening and you recognize that there's some things in your life that are amiss that need to be set right, we urge you to correct them. Sin will separate you from God, not draw you nearer. You have sin in your life, get rid of it. Pray to God and seek forgiveness. God has promised that if we will approach Him in prayer, seeking forgiveness, having turned from our sins, He will write them away as it didn't ever be. The congregation can assist you in dealing with these things because they're troublesome, the things you're having trouble overcoming. And maybe it's a public thing that needs to be corrected in that matter. I'll see you as yours. When I come, I will stand and sing for you.